while everyone's getting all excited about the upcoming holiday of Shavuos, it's also important for us to not forget that this Shabbos we have the honor and privilege of opening up the book of Bamidbar, and of course this Shabbos we will do so. It's always exciting to me to consider the thought of Rav Yitzchak of Vorki, who used to note that before Yom Kippur, the Shabbos was identified as Shabbos Shuva, and before Pesach, we have the Shabbos known as Shabbos Agadol. Well, that makes the Shabbos before Shavuos the Shabbos of Derech Eretz. After all, Chazal tell us Derech Eretz Kadma La Torah. And with that in mind, we approach the first thought for this week, where the Torah is we are told by Daber Hashem al Moshe b'Midbar Sinai that the Torah was given to Moshe in the Midbar of Sinai. And the Medrash comments and notes that the Torah was given in the Midbar at Sinai to teach us that to properly receive the Torah, one needs to open it and be open to it as Hefker, as a Midbar, but also as Anav, with the same humility as Har Sinai, if a person truly expects to be Zilchet to Kabbalah Satorah. So the great Rav Shlomo Levenstein, Shalita, who is a famous Magid, the author of the series called the Masok Lefi, he delivers a wonderful series of Chumash Yurim and Bnei Brak every single week. So Rav Shlomo Levenstein, Shalita, related a story about the Chazon Ish, which came to prove this point. The Chazon Ish, who had come to Warsaw to visit, and the Chazon Ish seems to have stomped into a Beis Medrash and opened a Gemara and was learning, at the time, of course, quite a young man. So, of course, when the Chevr Shas entered the Beis Medrash and needed the particular volume of Shas that he was using, the Gabbai came along and told him that a simple Jew comes to a shul can certainly make do with the recitation of Tillim, and so he gives him the Tillim to work with. The next day, when this simple Jew, Rav Avram Yishai Karelitz, the Chazon Ish, came forward and was offered an aliyah during laning, he was asked for his name by the same Gabbai who had taken the Gemara. And he says, well, my name is Avram Yishaya. And he realized, wait a minute, that's the Chazon Ish. This simple Jew is not the simple Jew. So he started to beg Mechila from the Chazon Ish. So the Chazon Ish stopped him and said, what are you asking for Mechila? First of all, the Chevr Shas had for its rights to the Gemara. They paid for it. They're members. I'm just a visitor. And second of all, what you said was correct. A Jew does need to say Tehillim. You didn't do anything wrong. Says Rav Shlomo Levenstein, that's what it means to make oneself like a Midbar for the sake of Torah. And it's certainly something that in our time certainly is worthy of mention and of perspective. Then we're told that there was supposed to be a census that was to be taken by the Nisim together with Moshe Rabbeinu. And we're told that Kasher Tziva Hashem es Moshe Vayifkedem b'Midbar Sinai. As Hashem commanded Moshe, the people were counted in the Midbar. What's up with that extra phrase? Everything the Jews did, they followed Hashem. So what's the addition to be gained over here? Sir Moshe Feinstein, Zecher Tzadok Lebracha, explains that usually when a census is undertaken, it's undertaken because the government needs the numbers, either for taxes or to know how to properly prepare for the programs for its citizens. If you need to know how many people you need in order to know how much bread to dole out, says Rav Moshe. But the Jews at this point in time, they weren't paying taxes. And the Man and the Be'er made the need for a census for programs superfluous. The Man was already there, the Be'er was already there, so why was there a need for a census? Says Rav Moshe, clearly the only reason for the census was because Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe, was because the Jews did exactly what Hashem told them to. This becomes a special proof that Bnei Yisrael were motivated purely to do Ratzon HaBori, the will of Hashem, and certainly that is something that is worthy of mentioning. It's not superfluous at that point in time. Okay, so then the Gemara continues, and the Gemara says as follows. The Torah comes along and gives us another important principle. We read about each one of the numbers, how everything moved within the numbers. And then the Torah tells us that after we find out who the numbers were, we're told, Ish al degloba osos lebeis avosam yachanu b'nei Yisrael mineged saviv. The Jews shall camp, each on its camp and each by its flag, surrounding the Mishkan they shall camp. And mineged saviv la'om oed yachanu, they should camp surrounding the Olam Oed. You know, Rameir Shapiro, Zecher Tzadok Livracha, who was the founder of the Daf Yomi movement, the Rosh Yeshiva and Chachmei Lublin, he noted that the beauty of diversity of Bnei Yisrael is no matter where they plant their flags, it's always surrounding the Mishkan, the Ohel Moed. And where, of course, is the Ohel Moed? It's the Torah where the people get together to discuss issues. And he used to use this idea when he was establishing the Daf Yomi. He says, look, take a look at a Daf Gemara. A Mishnah can originate in Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara in Bavel. Rashi, France. Tosus, Germany, the Rif in Fez, Morocco, and the Rambam in Spain. But you know what brings them all together? And you know what brings us all together? No matter where we are, that we're surrounding the Mishkan, and that it's the Torah that brings us together. You can plant your flag anywhere in the world, but Torah will always put Jews together within that process. Torah tells us, Ve'ila told us Aaron and Moshe. These are the children of Aaron and Moshe. And then the Torah goes on to tell us, HaBachor Nadav, Aviyu, Ve'elazar, Ve'isamar. We're told that they're the children of Aaron and Moshe, but of course, we only read about Aaron's children with Elisheva. And Rashi explains that they were called the future generations of Moshe, because Moshe was the one who taught them Torah. This, of course, an extension of the Gemara's principle, Ve'kol HaMalamed is ben Chavero Torah. If a person teaches his friend's son Torah, Ma'alal HaBakasuv Kilu Yelado, the Torah treats as if he birthed him. And the Maharal explains that even though all of Bnei Yisrael learned Torah from Moshe, and therefore maybe we should be writing in the Torah that Ve'ela Toldos Moshe, and then go through the entire census. Still, the difference between all those other instances and the ones that are mentioned here at the beginning of the third parak of Bamidbar is that Moshe went the extra mile to learn with his nephews. Ramoshe Tzvi Neria Zatzal points out that when one commits himself without limit to his students, that's like he becomes like a parent to them, and they return become like children, not just simply students, not just those you're lecturing to. They are the actual kids in the situation. And there, and therein lies the difference between them. In the Perek Dalet we read, Ufkudas Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen Shemen HaMaor Uktoras HaSamim Umenchas HaTamid V'Shemen HaMishcha, that the job of Elazar HaKohen was the Shemen HaMaor, the Ktoras, the Menchas HaTamid, and the Shemen HaMishcha. And the Yerushalmi in Shabbos explains that Elazar carried each one of these responsibilities on him at all times. That means he was carrying the Shemen HaMaor, the Ktoras, the Menchas HaTamid, and the Shemen HaMishcha at all times. And the Ramban notes that the sheer weight he would be expected to carry should have been enormous. And how could he have carried the entire weight? So Ramban explains that Elazar must have possessed the strength of Yaakov Avinu, who was also, all of a sudden, in the intensity of needing to push off the stone at the well, was able to do that which the shepherds were not able to do, they being, of course, stronger than him. So Reb Nosson Tzvi Finkel, the famous Rosh Yeshiva of the Mir Zatzal, explains that we learn the value of having she'ifos, of having aspirations. Through the power of aspiration, one can achieve way beyond that which is normally assumed to be possible for a person. Elazar didn't give up. Yaakov Avinu doesn't give up. And we don't have a right to give up either. Just because we look at a situation, we say, is nish gurnish telfin, that it's not going to help. We have to do what we can. We have the ability, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the sometimes incredible opportunities to achieve things just because we have the she'ifus, the aspiration to go ahead and do so. And when you consider who Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel was, a man who was stricken with debilitating Parkinson's disease and continued to deliver shiurim and shmuzin and studying Torah and inspiring his personal students, and then traveling around the world to inspire people who love Torah all around the world, all while leading the world's largest yeshiva with a monthly budget of millions of dollars, despite his illness. You understand what it means to be a person who has she'ifus. And the words that he simply uttered were simply all the more powerful. One who has she'ifus never gives up. HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps him within the process. Then the Torah goes on and adds to us, just on the same idea, Rav Shechter used to tell us that the pasuk Ufkudas Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen, right, it helps us answer another major difficulty. After all, we spend a lot of the parsha talking about the encampments, and we clearly identify that that's an horasha. We never live like that ever again. But what do we need it for? For what is there a horasha? So Rav Shechter says it's generally assumed that the horasha was to know how Bnei Yisrael was supposed to travel in the Midbar. That's what the horasha was there for. However, Rav Shechter suggested that the pasuk shows us that it's more of a horasha to teach us something about building the Mishkan. After all, we learn the rules of Hotzah from the Mishkan building. And Rashi and Shabbos shows us that one who carries with his weaker hand is still guilty of Hotzah. His proof is the fact that for the building of the Mishkan, Elazar was able to carry in either hand at the same time. And so therefore, the message is clear. Elazar did this at a temporary period in time for the building of the Mishkan, but in the future, that would be considered forbidden. He was allowed to carry then, We're not allowed to do so today. At the very end of the parasha, we're told, this is what you should do and make sure that they'll live and not die. When the Levim will come close to the Kodesh HaKadoshim before they traveled, then Aaron and his sons are going to come along and assign each one to his job. And we're going to make sure that Aaron and his sons would be the ones who would uncover the Kalim. Why was it so dangerous to let the people enjoy the splendor of the Aaron HaKodesh and the Kedusha of Hashem? And so Soloveitchik Zatzal noted that in contrast to the Greek culture that appreciated and glorified superficiality and that which is revealed nudity in the particular case of the Greeks, the Jewish style in general is Kavod Hashem Hester Davar. Shachti used to repeat this to us all the time, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the name of Rav Soloveitchik, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was a Kalmus, that their God finds his holiness in the mysterious and that which is non-revealed. And so therefore, the Kalim are usually kept under wraps, except when they need to be brought out for the purposes of inspiration. And so the message over here is, V'lo yavo liros kevalas ha-kodesh v'amesu. They shouldn't come to see when the Kodesh was simply uncovered, in an uncovered state. You do so when it kills you, it takes you off the mark. And this becomes an important lesson. Finally, the Haftorah that we're going to read, the Shabbos, comes from Hosea, and we're told in the second pasuk there, "V'nikbitzu b'nei Yehuda b'nei Yisrael yachdav," that the children of Yehuda and Yisrael will gather together. "V'samu lahem rosh echad v'alumen ha'aretz," and they're going to go ahead and have one leader and go up from the land. And the Alshach notes that this time that the Hosea is speaking about speaks of the time of Tchias HaMesim, when the dead are going to come up and come to Eretz Yisrael. And this is the reason why so many Jews want to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, even if they never lived there in life. So Rabbi Yosef Kahneman, the Panovich, or Rav Zatzal explained that at the time of Tchias HaMesim, the process is going to begin in Eretz Yisrael. The Mesei Eretz Yisrael will climb earlier. And says Rav Kahneman, getting the chance to get up a minute earlier, a couple of moments earlier, is also an opportunity to perform mitzvahs, even but a couple of minutes earlier. That's why Jews run to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. Rav Palm thought that the message was especially poignant in the weeks prior to Shavuos, when we are focused on how privileged we are to learn the Torah and how to make the most of the time and the opportunity. We are approaching the Chag HaShavuos, and let us grab the opportunity to prepare ourselves, Ki Gadol Yom Yisrael, because we're getting close to the opportunity for great things to happen. And may HaKadosh Baruch Hu bench us with the opportunity to see it quickly and to appreciate the Avas HaTorah now as we approach the Shabbos of Derech Eretz, so that we can get to the Yom Shekulo Shabbos of Mnucha V'Chaya Olamim. Yishabbat Shalom to all.